And we have on the telephone Susan Scheck, who's a master gardener with the Cornell Cooperative Extension, who's going to give us some tips on gardening in the hot, dry weather. Susan, are you there?
Yep, I am.
Welcome.
Hello. So tips on gardening in hot, dry weather. I think the tips are water. There is no substitute. There really isn't. And, of course, there are plants which require more water and others which require less. But across the board, you're going to have both in any normal garden.
And if one is concerned about water supply or water use, what would be the what plants need water more?
Well, there's quite a list. I mean, I don't know if I can give me any or a long list of those plants, but some of the popular ones are like echinacea. Coneflower is the common name, or looking out in the garden, any of the artemisias, Achillea are also pretty drought resistant. They are both, the last two I mentioned are both sort of silver leaved, and that's an indication. There's another plant that's silver leaved which would be drought resistant called Stachys, which is normally called lamb's ears.
Lamb's ears, kind of fuzzy looking.
Yeah. So, as I said, typically people have both in their garden, and I personally had a great water problem because my well only produced about half a gallon a minute, and I found a solution. It was sort of serendipitous because a neighbor whose property abuts mine offered to dig a pond for me, and he did. And he also dug a huge trench into which we put a PVC pipe, and that's how I water my garden, out of a pond. Now, a lot of people have ponds. I mean, farm ponds, I think they're called. And I don't think it occurs to them that a pump, which is not a huge expenditure, might solve their water problems from the point of view of the garden.
So you just put this submersible pump in the pond and...
Right. Yes. Actually, I'm sorry. I will have to say that I'm not sure it's a submersible pump because I'm not a pump person and I didn't do it myself. But my pump is not... In the water.
Yeah, just I have one too, and I've used one before, and the hose is in the water, but the motor is outside of the water, but it pulls the water in.
Right. As I said, because you don't need to have clean water for your garden, and furthermore, that water that I'm using, the pond water, is not so ice cold, which is also good for the plants.
I'm reading online you can also use bath water and water from the washing machine.
You mean what they call gray water?
Gray water.
Yeah, absolutely. But the capacity to do that all has to be engineered somehow. I mean, I have a very large garden, and I cannot carry pails of water around.
Susan, Ellen here.
Hi.
Are you talking about, when you say a large garden, is that a flower garden or a vegetable garden?
I let other people grow vegetables. it's flowers and shrubs, and trees, you know.
Well, you know, I have a huge catalpa tree that the year when everybody's tomatoes got some horrible wilt, my catalpa tree also suffered from a kind of wilt.
Was this about 2 or 3 years ago?
Yeah. And I went to the Cornell Cooperative Extension, and they told...
You may have spoken to me, Ellen.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, anyway, it was...
Your name sounds so familiar.
It was identified by you or someone else there, and I actually had someone come and fertilize it after... What happened with the wilt is that the leaves were dropping prematurely.
Right.
And at a pretty rapid rate.
Was it all over the tree?
Not all over, but on the lower branches. And I had a tree man come and cut the lower. We actually cut the lower branches off.
Good idea.
And then fertilized the tree later on. Mm-hmm. And the next year it was in pretty good shape.
Yeah.
Now it seems to be, and fertilized it also this spring.
Mm-hmm.
But now it looks in not great shape, and the leaves are falling again. And
yeah.
I think it's since we haven't had any rain.
Right. This can easily happen. And the birch trees in the woods, you know,
mm-hmm.
are showing drought stress. And just talking like we were before about some things being more susceptible to drought stress and others less,
mm.
birch is one of the first trees that really shows it. And mine, I can look at it right now, and it's wilting. My it's called paper birch. So Orchitalpa probably is not in a very good spot, in other words, from the point of view of water,
mm-hmm.
and is showing that stress.
Well, it's funny because the stress started when there was a lot of rain. That's
oh, okay.
when it all started. And now it's being stressed because there's not enough rain.
Well, I think what you had 2 years ago was something called verticillium wilt.
That's right. That's it.
And that's a disease. That
yeah.
is not drought stress.
I see.
Yeah, that is a disease. And the reason I immediately thought of it is because in that year, I had a half a dozen calls of people whose catalpa had verticillium wilt. And I had never heard of it before in the, you know, 20 so years that I've been doing this. So, yeah.
Was it related to the tomato blight? Or the potato blight?
There is verticillium wilt of tomato, but it's not the tomato blight. That's a different disease again.
And
the potato blight and the tomato blight are the same.
And that's less of a chance this year because of the drought for that to spread?
You know, we have, I don't know if I think that's true. The spores seem to come from the south, and when the weather is hot, this blight is more active. And we had a very bad year, I think it was 2 years ago, and then last year, again, it was not really very serious. By the way, I don't know if you know, but that is the blight that caused the potato famine in Ireland.
Right.
In the mid-1900s.
And I think there was one report in Suffolk County so far this spring, but so far that's been the only report that I've seen.
Yeah, I haven't seen that, but I'm not surprised. As a matter of fact, I bought a package of potatoes, a bag of potatoes recently in one of the supermarkets. And to my horror, about half of them were rotten in the way that potato blight causes potatoes to rot.
From the inside out, or?
Yep, exactly. You don't see much on the outside. Maybe a little, discoloration, but only in one spot. And when I cut it open, it was blighted, I have to say. Now, I didn't bother to, investigate further, but I have a sneaking suspicion that that's what it was.
Now, getting back to the birch trees, do you water them now? Are you
no.
watering?
No, I don't water birch trees. I mean, they're there by their own choice, and I love them, but I can't afford to do that. I water my gardens, and there's plenty of them.
And you probably don't bother to water the grass.
Well, do I have to be honest?
Yes, be honest. Actually, you have a good water supply from your pond, so maybe
exactly.
you can do it.
But since I don't have to apologize for using anybody else's water, I'll say that I did actually water the lawn a bit. But, not enough to sustain the whole thing by any means, no.
Susan, would you say that we're officially in drought conditions? And if so, how bad is it?
Oh, I don't know whether it's official or not, but it's not so unusual. I mean, we've had this before many times since I live here in Hillsdale.
I haven't seen any bans on lawn watering yet.
Yeah, yeah. Well, in Hillsdale, there is almost no town water. I mean, that's a tiny hamlet, and they have town water. But
yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know what to say about official, you know.
But no, but you've seen worse than this, I'm assuming.
I've seen the equivalent, let's say. We often have, you know, 2 or 3 weeks where we just don't get any rain and it's hot and a lot of evaporation, of course. That's a big factor mm-hmm. because not only has it been without rain, but the dryness of the air, which we love because it means it's more comfortable, right? Low humidity means more evaporation.
Does the amount of water in the ground affect how much or how well the plants will bloom?
Well, they set bloom the previous year. Most plants do. I mean, for instance, you know, rhododendrons and forsythia and all those spring bloomers, lilac, do set bloom the previous year. So if we were to have a sustained drought like this through the whole summer, yeah, I'm sure it would. Although plants tend to want to reproduce when things are really bad. For the reason that we all know, every species wants to reproduce itself. That's its main goal. And the flowering, of course, is the plant's reproductive organ. So there is a tendency when something is just about dead that it will bloom its head off. Yeah.
I wanted to ask a question, two questions really, one relating to pond building. You have to get a permit from the town probably to dig a pond,
DEC,
don't you?
I believe, DEC.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And anything you do with water.
Right.
Whether, I remember a case where a person had built a pond, dug a pond, and some, 20 years later or so, he wanted to close it up. Absolutely, it's a no-no. You cannot alter water. That's, I believe, the kind of prescription that there is.
Oh, that's interesting.
Restriction, I guess.
My other question relates to monarch butterflies. I'm not quite sure when they start flying south. Can anybody fill me in on that?
Well, I think you can see it end of August, September.
So maybe I'm a little early because I haven't seen any.
They're around.
And the milkweed is really drooping.
There's a butterfly that I've noticed on the milkweed called Fritillaria. It's another relatively common butterfly.
Is it yellow and black?
No, it's more orange, speckled. Anyway, there are a lot of butterflies around. I see them. Of course, some of them are tiny, you know.
Yeah.
The monarchs will be around. I guess they don't really stay here very much, although I have had monarchs which made a cocoon on my, it's a plant that's known for that. It's another Asclepia. What is its common name? I have a lot of trouble with going back and forth. what is Asclepia's common name? I don't know. It's orange, and it's a shrub, and you sometimes see it in the wild. Anybody recognize that? No. Okay.
Oh, it's not trumpet vine. That's the only orange one.
No. That's, trumpet vine is pretty red, I think. It's also a yellow form. Yeah. I just wanted to mention, and during the course of the conversation, that I am, of course, both trained and a volunteer at Columbia, Cornell Cooperative Extension, and I've been doing it for a long time, as I said before, and we are there to answer people's questions anytime they want, and the number is 828-3346. And I'm usually there Wednesday morning. So I tell that to everybody. It's not exclusive to you.
So people can call in with their questions.
Exactly. And, it's a pretty wonderful service. You can't call a doctor and ask him, what's wrong. You can call us.
And it seems like we've maybe left out one piece of advice that I've heard to people. Is it best that people should water their plants very early in the morning or when it gets dark? Or
yeah. Well, you know, because I'm trying to conserve, I water a lot of things through drip irrigation. Now, that means that the plant itself doesn't get wet. Only the roots get wet because you have this tube with holes in it running through your gardens. And when things get dry, you turn it on, and or you can have it on a timer, I guess. And it only waters the roots. Now, the advantage of that is you don't waste water on the leaves, which can't use it, and also which get fungal diseases if they are wet too often and too long. So that's another way of combating the problem of when to water, because then you can water anytime. But what you're looking to do is to get the leaves dry before nightfall, because leaves staying wet like that just encourages these fungal diseases.
Well, Susan, thank you very much for your time.
Not at all.
Thank you, Susan.
And enjoy talking to you again, Ellen. I'm positive I spoke to you once before. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Bye.